The Web that Cosmo Weaver, Understanding Chinese Medicine, page 305, Appendix A, The Stages of Disease, a Series of Clinical Scenes. This appendix on the progression of illness illustrates the evolution and flexibility of Chinese medical thinking and demonstrates its vitality. Chinese medicine is a corpus of knowledge composed of a great many commentaries written during the past 20 centuries. Although there is apparent confusion in its history, it would be a mistake to overlook the fact that Chinese medicine has also undergone a lengthy process of self-modification. Chinese medicine always goes back to its respected and revered sources, but they are continuously scrutinized and supplemented. In short, the living tradition perpetually rediscovers itself. This process of self-revitalization is exemplified by historical developments in the Chinese approach to febrile diseases. Among the most common clinical pictures observed by physicians East and West are illnesses that involved fever and a sequence of events that includes onset, peak, and recovery. Until very recently, these illnesses were the major cause of death. In the modern West, these disorders would probably be described as infectious and contagious diseases. Chinese physicians describe such febrile illnesses as sequential patterns of disharmony. This appendix is also an important example of East Asian medicine's emphasis on context and ability to simultaneously maintain multiple medical frameworks. While the patterns we have discussed so far are based primarily on synchronicity in the appearance of signs and symptoms, the presentation in this appendix emphasizes the sequential analysis of stages in the progress of medical disorders. The pattern of longitudinal time is emphasized over the pattern of a configuration. Initially, febrile patterns were thought to occur within the six-stage sequence. Later, a possible four-stage sequence was also developed to supplement the earlier thinking and to give physicians an alternative theory with which to work. Both the six-stage and the four-stage sequences comprise the basic perceptual framework with which Chinese physicians diagnose and treat febrile illnesses. The concept of pattern sequences in febrile diseases also elaborates on the exterior patterns of the eight principal patterns, as well as the patterns of pernicious influences, but emphasizes time and sequence more. The pattern of six stages. The idea of six-stage pattern of disease was first developed by one of the greatest physicians in Chinese history, Chan Chongjin, in his classic Shanghanlong, Discussion of Cold-Induced Disorders, written around 220 CE, Dr. Chang studied and synthesized all the medical writings of his time to develop the six-stage pattern. His ideological point of departure was an unclear and obscure passage from the Neijin that describes six disease stages, and from this, he created an elaborate, logical, and practical sequence pattern. The treatment method and prescriptions described in this pattern are still memorized by all practitioners of traditional Chinese medicine. Dr. Chang's discussion of cold-induced disorders became the second most important work in Chinese medical literature and generated at least as many commentaries as the Neijin. Even though it emphasized treatment methods and prescriptions rather than theory, the elegance and subtlety of the discussion lie in the minimal number of signs it uses to delineate a pattern and in the delicacy and precision of its prescriptions and their permutations. The six stages presented in the discussion comprise a series of patterns that map out the course of diseases characterized by pernicious influences entering the body and generating fever. Usually, Dr. Chan suggests such diseases begin with the first stage and proceed in sequence to the sixth. However, a disease can go straight to any stage, skip stages, or even move in reverse. The first stage is called Taiyan, or Greater Yang. In the discussion, this stage is characterized by fear of cold or wind, fever, headache, and floating pulse. Within the rubric of the eight principal patterns, this is a pattern of external cold pernicious influence. The discussion mentions many distinctions and variations in the Taiyan stage. This stage marks the onset of illness, after which the pernicious influence can enter either the Yangmin or the Xiaoyang stage. The Yangmin stage, which is Yang brightness, is characterized by fever, perspiration, no fear of cold, but rather a fear of heat, irritability, thirst, and rapid, big, and full pulse are the important Yangmin signs. This stage marks the internal development of the disease, and according to the eight principal patterns, this is an interior or a heat pattern. The third stage is Xiaoyang, which is lesser yang. Logically, this category should precede Yangmin. The order of presentation, however, is based on the original Neijian narrative and therefore was not changed. The signs that designate the Xiaoyang pattern include chills and fever coming alternately, chest and flanks distended, bitter taste in the mouth, no appetite, irritability, and urge to vomit. The fever and chills resemble those of malaria, occurring separately and distinctly. Xiaoyang belongs to a subcategory within the principle of exterior and interior, and is known as half-exterior, half-interior pattern. Since Xiaoyang has neither the simultaneous chills and fever of an exterior pattern, nor the interior signs of fever and no fear of a cold, it is considered an in-between. This pattern is intimately tied to the gallbladder and triple bladder meridian pathways and is therefore associated with flank pain, bitterness in the mouth, blurry vision, and wiry pulse. The first three stages, Taiyang, Yangmin, and Xiaoyang, are patterns of excess. The fourth and fifth stages are patterns of deficiency and interiority, and are not really concerned with pernicious influences. The sixth stage is considered a miscellaneous one. A pernicious influence can enter the body during the last three stages either by proceeding sequentially through the first three or by going directly inside. The fourth stage is Tai-in, which is greater yin. It is characterized by a full and distended abdomen, lack of thirst, along with vomiting, no appetite, great diarrhea, and occasional pain. The commentaries consider this state a pattern of deficient spleen yang. The fifth stage is Xiaoyin, which is lesser yin, and is thought to be a step deeper. Many commentaries call this most serious stage. Its salient signs are minute pulse and a great desire to sleep. Other signs are aversion to cold, cold limbs, and lack of fever. The commentaries consider their stage a pattern of deficient yang, especially of the kidneys. The sixth stage is Jue-in. Logically, it should be the deepest and most serious stage. The discussion, however, reveals that this is actually a miscellaneous pattern in which the yin and yang of the body act in a complex manner so that some areas are hot and others are cold. The text also discusses warmth. The pattern of six stages, along with its many subcategories and great number of prescriptions, was for many hundreds of years the basis for treating febrile diseases of outside origin. The prescriptions for the last three stages served as the basis for treating internal disharmonies. Slowly, however, physicians began to criticize it for its omissions and one-sidedness. Many clinicians and theorists believe that Dr. Chan's discussion emphasized cold pernicious influences to the virtual exclusion of heat pernicious influences, focused on cold injuring the yang while forgetting to deal with heat injuring the yin, and dealt with deficient yang while ignoring deficient yin. Also, it's possible that the nature of illness changed through the ages with better sweat, sanitation, social stability, and improvements in nutrition. The pattern of four stages. Later Chinese physicians, working from the beginning of the Ming Dynasty through the Qin Dynasty, developed what became known as the pattern of four stages. This construct was intended to address the inadequacies of the pattern of six stages. It was not a refutation of the discussion of cold-induced disorders. Rather, it was a supplement that provided a more comprehensive method for treating febrile diseases. Depending on the clinical signs, a Chinese doctor could now interpret the disorder by means of either the six or the four-stage sequence. The pattern of four stages became known as the development of warm disease school. Although this school occurs late in Chinese medical history, it's universally accepted as part of the classical Chinese medical tradition, demonstrating how patterns, theories, and clinical perceptions change and are refined for greater clarity and accuracy. The warm disease school traced its origins to few scattered sentences in the Neijing that refers to heat illnesses, such as winter injuries with cold, in spring there will be warm illness, and to a few brief references in the discussion, such as Taiyang illness, fever and thirst, no fear of cold, is warm illness. Taking four words from the Neijing that describe physiological entities, the warm disease school went on to develop an alternate series of patterns of heat illness. They depicted four broad sequential scenes of febrile disharmonies. In the schematic representation, febrile diseases are thought to be able to enter four distinct depths of the body. The first stage, called the pattern of the Wei portion, occurs when a pernicious influence is in the Wei portion or the first depth of the body. Wei is the Chinese word for the protective qi. Disharmonies of this pattern are characterized by fever, a slight fear of a cold, headache, coughing, slight thirst with or without perspiration, either the tongue material or the tip of the tongue slightly red, and a floating and rapid pulse. Within the rubric of the eight principal patterns, it's pattern of exterior heat. It's not described in Dr. Chan's discussion. The second pattern of the four stages, the pattern of the qi portion, occurs when the pernicious influence enters the qi portion, or the second depth of the body. This happens if the pernicious influence is not dispelled from the Wei portion and manages to penetrate deeper into the body. Its primary signs is fever without fear of cold, which is similar to the Yang Ming stage of the six-stage sequence or to an interior heat pattern of the eight principal patterns. Various sub-patterns develop, depending on the types of heat involved and which organ is invaded. The details of this stage are extensively dealt with in the literature. For example, Heat in the lungs displays the signs of high fever, wheezing, coughing, yellow tongue moss, and thirst. Heat in the stomach produces high fever, sweat, dark, scanty urine, constipation, abdominal and epigastric pain, and flooding pulse. The third stage of the four stages is called the pattern of the in portion. The word in describes the nutritive aspect of qi that is associated with blood, and the in stage is the next step of the sequence. The main signs include a scarlet and red tongue, irritability, restlessness, delirium or coma, fever that is greater at night, thirst but not so great as the associated with the qi portion, slight red skin eruptions, and a thin, rapid pulse. Because the pernicious influence is in the deeper in portions of the body, the tongue becomes scarlet and the shen is very easily disturbed, while thirst is reduced because some fluids vaporize and ascend to the tongue. Because the in stage is preliminary to the blood stage, one often sees the beginning of skin rashes and eruptions, which are signs of heat in the blood. The pattern of the blood portion is the final, deepest, and most serious of the four stages. All signs of the in portion now worsen. The patient succumbs to a high fever, delirium, or coma, is extremely irritable, and has distinct and dramatic skin eruptions and rashes. As the heat disturbs the blood, there is reckless movement with such signs as vomiting of blood, nosebleeds, blood in the stools or urine, and skin eruptions. The shen may also be greatly disturbed. The heat in this stage can injure the yin and blood, thereby easily allowing wind to arise with such signs as tremors, stiffness, eyes starting upward, and teeth locked shut. Sometimes this stage has more manifestations of deficiency, and the heat can be thought of as injuring the yin, fluids, and blood. The signs accompanying this are low fever, morning cool, evening hot, hot palms and soles, dry teeth, sunken eyes, trembling hands, and a very thin pulse. The pericardium is often affected in warm illnesses. The most common problem is heat disturbing the shen during the warm illness. This phenomenon is usually described as heat collapsing into the pericardium. It occurs most often during the yin or blood stage. Whenever the pericardium is so affected, the shen may become unclear and coma or delirium can develop. Serious irritability and a trembling tongue are often the first signs of such a collapse. Another common alternative pattern that also influences the shen and accompanies external heat illnesses is mucus obstructing the pericardium.